Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue with my teaching titled, The Book of Romans, Our Guidebook for Christian Living, which I began on March 17, 2021. This teaching is a verse-by-verse examination of this New Testament book and will provide the listener important details that will give all of us insight on how to live in victory by applying the biblical principles that Apostle Paul shares with us. When I speak of the book of Romans as a guidebook, I'm referring to a manual of information that will give this Christian the ability to live life skillfully in Jesus. It is a guide to a godly lifestyle that may be unknown or unfamiliar to some of you. Therefore, Apostle Paul wrote this book with the intention to lead us to the knowledge of God's New Testament promises, give us understanding on how to operate successfully through applying God's Word, His promises to our life, and as a result, live according to God's wisdom as more than conquerors. It is no secret that the more we know and come to understand God's holy word, the easier it will be for each of us to apply the promises of God to our life by faith. It is through developing and becoming strong in faith that we not only please our Heavenly Father, but also come to experience the more than abundant life in Jesus. The kind of life that gives us the victory over all the challenges of life. If you are tired of being a victim of Satan and his demonic assignments, you need to be a part of this weekly study. For this teaching, I have selected two key verses from the book of Romans for our foundational scripture. Please go to Romans chapter 1. I will be reading from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment to everyone who believes in Christ as Savior, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Gentiles. Verse 17, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. As it is written and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by his faith. If you were not with us from the beginning of this teaching or would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, I invite you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We finished examining chapter 13, verse 4, when I ran out of time. Please go to the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 5. As a reminder, Romans chapter 13, the major topic for this chapter is be subject or obedient to government. Let's read from the Bible, verse 5. It says, therefore, one must be subject to civil authorities, not only to escape the punishment that comes with wrongdoing, but also as a matter of principle, knowing what is right before God. Here's my comment regarding verse 5. We should honor just laws because they keep us safe, and more importantly, we show respect to our living God. Our lives should reflect the goodness of God and His love for all people. All right, let's go to verse 6. The Bible says, for this same reason you pay taxes, for civil authorities are God's servants, devoting themselves to governance. Here's my comment regarding verse 6. It may seem like a small indiscretion, but cheating in the preparation of our taxes is detrimental to our prosperity because it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. If God can't trust us to follow the laws of this government, how will we be able to follow His word? Here's an example. Early this year, I met with our CPA regarding our 2020 tax return. I had already sent him my list of expenses and income by email. Shortly after I sent my information to the CPA, I received a late receipt of contribution from a charitable organization that John gave to. He sent a $100 donation, but the receipt showed a net donation of $80 because he had received a gift for his donation, which I was not aware of. Even though the amount is only $20, I made sure that I gave the CPA the correction. I asked him to reduce my charitable giving by the $20. I don't want anything to hinder my financial blessings from God. And when we are diligent in the little, God will be able to trust us with those bigger assignments. Amen. All right, let's go to verse number 7 and read from the Bible. The Bible says, pay to all what is due, tax to whom tax is due, customs to whom customs, respect to whom respect, honor to whom honor. Here's my comment regarding verse number 7. I love this verse because God did not say to do it because I like paying taxes or customs. He did not say it because I totally agree, respect, or honor the person in charge of such collections. God said it to do it, and I can do it, if I always do it unto the Lord. In other words, I do it to please my Heavenly Father and not man. This way of thinking has kept me from arguing with people about insignificant matters, and this includes arguments with my husband and other family members. We must learn that our prayers of faith and godly lifestyle are far more powerful than anything we can say to a person to persuade them to change when they are not ready to hear God's word. All right, let's go read verse number 8 from the Bible. It says, owe nothing to anyone except to love and seek the best for one another. For he who unselfishly loves his neighbor has fulfilled the essence of the law relating to one's fellow man. Here's my comment regarding verse number 8. First point I want to make is that God is not opposed to us borrowing money because He said that we would be the lenders and not the borrowers. So if it's okay to lend, it must be okay to borrow. What God wants for His people is that we live in prosperity, abundantly supplied so that we would not need to borrow. Second point is that if each Christian loved and seek the best for others, we would finally have unity in the church and the world would be drawn to Christ. All right, let's read from the Bible verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder,
you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Here's my comment regarding verse number 9. Under the Old Testament, the saints of old had laws upon laws of what to do and what not to do. The law was given to them because they did not yet have Jesus to teach them how to live godly. Further, Jesus' redemptive work had not yet been accomplished to bring them from spiritually dead to spiritually alive. However, when Jesus completed his redemptive assignment and the gift of salvation was available to us, the law was finished in him. All that God requires of us is to love others as ourselves. Because when you truly love someone, you will not hurt, abuse, misuse, or destroy that person. When you love someone, you encourage, protect, and provide for that person so that he or she will be their best and live in victory. Now, too many Christians do not love themselves and therefore hate others to cover up their own shame and inadequacies. The cure to self-hate is to study who we are in Christ and then apply God's word to our life. Amen. All right, let's read from the Bible verse number 10. It says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. It never hurts anyone. Therefore, unselfish love is the fulfillment of the law. Here's my comment regarding verse number 10. Unselfish love means feelings of love that are not reciprocated. God loves us unconditionally. He did not wait until we got our act together to love us. He loved us when we were yet sinners. Caution. God loves his creation, not the sin we are in or were in. And he expects us to do the same for others. In the natural, this kind of love seems impossible. However, by faith and doing it unto the Lord, it is not only possible, but can be effortless. I know for a fact that loving others because of Jesus' love for me empowers me to grow stronger in faith and ultimately in my relationship with Jesus. Even though I may not win the other person over, I win because my heart is kept right and I don't allow my feelings to get hurt. This will save you many sleepless nights because the only one who wins when you choose to hate is Satan. So don't let him win. All right, let's read verse number 11 from the Bible. It says, do this knowing that this is a critical time. It's already the hour for you to awaken from the sleep of spiritual complacency. For our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed in Christ. Here's my comment regarding verse 11. The phrase, the hour has come for you to awaken from your sleep of spiritual complacency. Family, there is much work to do to get the good news of Jesus Christ out into the world. There is no time to waste or assignment too small. I recently read that there is 2.2 billion people in the world that still have not heard the good news. Therefore, each of us must seek God's face and allow the Holy Spirit to give you direction on what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Each of us must use our gifts and talents to advance the kingdom of God before we leave this earth realm. All right, let's continue with verse number 12. The Bible says, the night this present evil age is almost gone, and the day of Christ's return is almost here. So let us, fling away the works of darkness, and put on the full armor of light. Here's my comment regarding verse number 12. Listeners, let's do a self-examination and identify those areas in our life that need correction. Then pursue the word with diligence and make those corrections so that we do not give Satan a place to steal, kill, and destroy us. Always remember that we can do all things in Christ that strengthens us. God's word is more than sufficient for our victory. All right, let's read from the Bible, verse number 13. It says, "Let us conduct ourselves properly and honorably as in the light of day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and irresponsibility, not in quarreling and jealousy." Here's my comment regarding verse 13. Keep in mind that Paul wrote this letter to Christians. He is telling us Christians not to carouse, not to get drunk, not to operate in sexual promiscuity, or be irresponsible, quarrel, or act out in jealousy. This lets us know that a Christian can choose to act like the sinful world. Just don't choose to. Show the world the love of Jesus and be like him. Self-control, refusing to yield to sin, be loving, kind, long-suffering, and patient. All right, let's read verse 14 from the Bible. This is the last verse of chapter 13. It says, "But clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for, nor even think about gratifying the flesh in regard to its improper desires." Here's my comment regarding verse 14. We read in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, that there is no good thing in the flesh. Therefore, we cannot allow the flesh to dictate to us how to live out our lives. The flesh will cause you to fail every time if you follow its lead. But if we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus, or in other words, be obedient to the word of God, we will be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, each and every time. Amen. Well, family, that concludes chapter 13. Let's move forward with chapter 14 of the book of Romans. The major topic is principles of conscience. Principles of conscience. And before I read verse number 1, I want to highlight a little summary for this chapter. Before I start reading from chapter 14, please note that the verses we are about to read are written with the converted Jew in mind. The Israelites were given the law, and within the law, God gave them, among other things, precise instructions on what to eat, drink, wear, and what days to work and rest. As a result, Paul is warning the converted Jews in Rome not to continue to hold the law above salvation through Jesus. Jesus completed the Old Testament law, and the only commandment given to the New Testament believer is to love his neighbor as himself. I am sure that Paul made these statements not only to keep the peace among the Christian Gentile and the Christian Jew, but to set free those who were once subjected to the law. All right, let's go to verse number 1. The Bible says, "As for the one whose faith is weak, accept him into your fellowship, but not for the purpose of quarreling over his opinions." Here's my comment regarding verse number 1. With regards to the comment, "whose faith is weak," Paul is speaking of those Christians who are immature or baby Christians. And this can include those who received Jesus years ago, but have not grown in faith. There are still too many churches that are not teaching God's word. The pastors of these churches are inspirational, but they do not teach the congregants how to live according to God's principles. As a result, their members remain immature Christians for life. How can we help? By sharing what we know and teaching these individuals how to use God's word against Satan and his demonic assignments. All
right, let's read verse number 2 from the Bible. It says, one man's faith permits him to eat everything, while the weak believer eats only vegetables to avoid eating ritually unclean meat or something previously considered unclean. Here's my comment regarding verse number 2. We must be supportive of those who are still learning to walk by faith. People come from all walks of life before they accept Jesus. So practice restraint when you are among them. For example, there is no sin in drinking some wine with dinner. However, to a baby Christian, it may cause them to fall back into sin if they or others around them are alcoholics. This is where our faith to love and encourage others must be priority. Personally, I stopped drinking any kind of alcohol some 26 years ago. I know that people watch us as Christians, and I have decided not to be a stumbling block for anyone. All right, let's read verse number 3 from the Bible. It says, the one who eats everything is not to look down on the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat must not criticize or pass judgment on the one who eats everything, for God has accepted him. Here's my comment regarding verse number 3. Again, the fact that John and I eat pork meat does not mean that we should impose on other believers to do the same. We all know that eating too much pork is not good for our health. So eating any kind of meat should be in moderation. However, please don't condemn those that do eat or don't eat what you consider clean or unclean. And always pray over any food set before you and bless what is going into your stomach. All right, let's continue with the Bible and read verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, who are you to judge the servant of another? Before his own master he stands approved or falls out of favor. And he who serves the master, the Lord, will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Here's my comment regarding verse number 4. Let's celebrate and rejoice with others about their salvation in Jesus. This is the most important and binding relationship we have with others, even beyond natural birth. Then allow the Holy Spirit to direct your words that will promote their spiritual growth in Christ. Let's continue with verse number 5. The Bible says, one person regards one day as better or more important than another, while another regards every day the same as any other. Let everyone be fully convinced, assured, satisfied in his own mind. Here's my comment regarding verse number 5. Here is a Jewish ritual that some denominations practice today. Keeping the Sabbath or Saturday was under the law. Today we keep Sunday as our day of worship. But the day in and of itself is not holy. What is important is to gather together to fellowship and worship our living God in love. Further, to live a life of worship every day, not just on Sunday or Saturday. Let's read from the Bible verse number 6. It says, he who observes the day observes it for the Lord. He who eats, eats for the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While he also abstains for the Lord and gives thanks to God. Here's my comment regarding verse number 6. Our life should be dedicated to our Savior and Lord, living in a manner that pleases him and not the world. By living in such a mode, we can avoid offending others in their faith because we are living in a loving and caring manner. Keep in mind that it takes time for a new believer to understand that God does not deal with the outward appearance of man. God is the Father of man's spirit. However, as Christians, we should speak, dress, and live in a fashion that builds up others and not cause division or discord. This is truly the way we give thanks to our living God. All right, let's read verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, "None of us lives for himself, for his own benefit, but for the Lord. And none of us dies for himself, but for the Lord." Here's my comment regarding verse number 7. The phrase "living for the Lord" makes life easy and pleasurable, because our God is easy to please. Once we accept his wonderful gift of salvation, we only need to follow his written word and enjoy his abundant blessings that never end. Let's continue with the Bible and read verse number 8. "If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Here's my comment regarding verse number 8. This is how we stop Satan, his demons, and evil assignments in their tracks. When we reach that place of godly confidence in God's holy word, that whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. The fear of death can be very overwhelming if you don't understand that physical death is the beginning of eternal life in a most beautiful and perfect place with our Creator. It is so wonderful that many who have gone through a near-death experience don't wish to return. So, family, I'm so sorry we are out of time. Please return next week as we continue our study of the Book of Romans, our guidebook to Christian living.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.